This is Jane McGonigal, the author of Super Better and a big fan of the Psych Tech Podcast. You're listening to Psych Tech Podcast, where you will get the future of psychology and technology.
Welcome to Psych Tech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast, where we dish you up the human side of technology every week, piping hot and steaming full of content. Here, delivering that service to you is myself, Kelly Dunlap, and Josue Cardona.
Not too hot, though, because we don't want anybody to get burned.
Right. I mean, we're not like McDonald's. There can be a disclaimer on it saying, you know, content is hot and you can spill it on yourself, but we don't want that to happen.
Explicit. But not too hot.
We're like Goldilocks. We're just right.
Let's do this.
Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a podcast about technology for parents, so baby tech. And that might have been the most interesting podcast we've done in terms of getting responses from our listeners. We got a lot of listener mail. A lot of it was laughing at how little I know about what it's actually like to be a mother. Which I think is totally fair,
But, it is fair, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but everybody having their own experiences, and I think it was an issue that touched on a lot of people's experience, so whether you're a parent or everybody's been a child at some point at least, and I guess that's our target audience. So I've been wanting to do more with that, especially because I'm now further along. I've only got 12 weeks left, which seems like forever. I feel like the size of a house. And I'm only going to get bigger. So I was kind of perusing, looking at all the new stuff. There was tons of Star Wars stuff that came out and new Star Trek. And there's a bunch of new games that dropped. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I stumbled over this Slate article about screen time. Now, screen time is a really big deal. And I'm sure, Josue, you agree that most parents that we talk to, that's one of the number one things that comes to their mind is, screen time, how much is too much, and et cetera, et cetera.
It's the devil, et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, is it the devil? You know, I do exactly 3.5 hours. Is that too much? And it's one of those things where there's just not enough research to definitively say anything. So I think the current idea around screen time is moderation. So I picked up this article, one, because I'm interested in any kind of the debate that's going on about screen time. But this article was titled, "The Debate Over Screen Time, is Really About Moms, Not Kids." And that got me really, really interested because I don't think I'd ever heard that kind of spin on it before. And I think what's most interesting to me is that it touches on the idea that we talked about on our last podcast of parental shaming, of mom shaming, but in a really unique, different way. So before we kind of dive into the article itself, what did you think of, Josue, when I first posted this in our Slack chat and said, this is what we should do it about?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really interesting because I never thought of it that way. I do, like, I completely get the shaming part of it, you know, like, well, you know, what kind of a parent are you if you're just, you know, if you're letting the TV babysit your kids? Like, what kind of a person are you? But I never thought of it. I guess I never thought of that having any sort of roots, like what kind of history there was behind that, that could possibly really be about not parents, but mothers in particular, because you know, like now we and when I was a kid, I spent more time. My parents got divorced, and like my early childhood, I spent it mostly with my father. And then when I was older, I moved in and lived with my mom. So to me, the idea of mothers being the primary caretakers wasn't my reality. Like it was pretty, you know, it was split pretty much down the middle for my childhood. So I realized I'd never thought of it that way at all.
Right. And then it kind of takes it the next step further. They quote a essay from JSTOR, which is entitled, "Happy Mother's Day, Kids' Screen Time is a Feminist Issue." And as a devout feminist myself, and as somebody who will soon have a child of their own, and as somebody who is deeply, deeply in love with technology, this article really, really spoke to me. And I think the quote that really kind of sums up the entirety of what I wanted to talk about today is, our anxiety about making mothers work easier is rooted in our profound reservations about liberating women from the demands of the home. And I feel like that is a very powerful statement, and I don't necessarily think that everybody is going to agree with it or agree with it 100%, although they definitely make some arguments in that direction, which we'll touch on. But it touched on this nerve for me of technology in and of itself being something that evokes our anxiety about populations that we consider vulnerable. So we talk about video games and how they're kind of the boogeyman for children. And throughout history, what children do, we've always been concerned with, whether it's the radio or the phonograph or rock music or jazz music, you know, whatever, hopscotch in the backyard, you know, whatever the kids are doing, there's always a parental concern about what it's doing to them. And again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because parents, you do want to be concerned about what your children are doing. But another population that we consider vulnerable are women. You know, we tend to see women as the fairer sex, the ones in need of protecting, traditionally speaking, and even in more modern times. And you're seeing it a lot with this whole transgender bathroom debate. You're really seeing that kind of, you know, protect the women folk mentality come out. But without going into that, so the idea that not only is the technology itself something that we tend to have fears of because it's new and it's shiny and we don't know what it's doing, it's also touching on this really sensitive topic about women's place in the world. So I really want to dive into that too. In general, the idea of what really came to mind before I even dive into what the article talked about, what it evoked in my mind was this idea of breastfeeding. So it's not really a topic I've really thought about a lot, but in the past 4 months, I've had two of my really good girlfriends give birth, and they're both breastfeeding, and I will be having a baby soon, and I guess TMI, I plan to breastfeed, so just in case anybody in psych tech world was curious. And so this has become a topic that I'm now very much aware of. And what I've seen from personal experience, what I've read about in articles, and what I've heard from more anecdotal pieces is that there seems to be this hesitancy around leaving women to breastfeed in public. There was this really actually wonderful video. They had in a mall, they had a woman sitting there breastfeeding her baby and sat there for like an hour or so. And clocked how many people gave her strange looks or even came up and told her, hey, you really should go do that somewhere else. And then they had another young lady sit on a bench for another hour wearing a very, very scantily a top that did not leave much to the imagination, and to see how people reacted to her. And it was a very, very different experience. She was approached by several people, almost all of them, I think all of them male, but it was a very positive, I guess if you wanted to call it a positive, they were hitting on her, you know, whatever, positive, gross, whatever you want to call it. And so it's this idea that it's not the boob that we are afraid of. We don't fear the boob, Josue. We don't fear the boob. So what is it about breastfeeding that makes us so uncomfortable?
Yeah, then, I did want to translate that, yeah, just in case for the guys out there, right? Because what you are saying is that in general, people think that just the issue with breastfeeding is that you're exposing your boobs and that makes everybody feel uncomfortable. And this video, while just, you know, one situation, kind of really gets to the heart of the issue, which is that people love to see boobs. Everybody, even girls love to see boobs. Doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, anything, just boobs have an appeal. Right?
You just don't care, or you don't care.
Yeah, like, or you don't care, right? It's the breastfeeding part that seems to, or maybe it's just that. Well, I mean, that's a discussion, right? Like maybe it's that the breastfeeding makes it okay to suddenly talk about your boobs, right? Like we can't have a discussion where I'm staring at your chest, but if there's a baby latched onto it, then now we can. Now it's game.
I mean, a lot of people I know actually even have covers. They make scarves that kind of fold out into breastfeeding covers. Or there's ones that are specifically designed. They look like an apron that go around your neck.
But is the cover for you so that people don't see your boobs? Or is it for the other people don't see it? Like you don't yeah, want you don't question. Want to offend other people. And I mean, I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an idea in my head of I've never whipped my boob out in public before. So there might be some, you know, modesty that I want to have, that I want to hold on to, some kind of privacy.
But are you planning on doing that in the future?
I don't know. I'm still working on cooking the darn thing.
And let's just jump further ahead. Are you posting that picture of you exposing your boob in public on Facebook?
So at the 20-week ultrasound, our little seedling had his feet together, like the pads of his feet together, which means his legs were completely bowed open, and he was very proudly displaying his manhood, as it was. And the tech actually took like it looked like one of those markers that you see on ESPN where they're drawing out the football plays, and she wrote "boy" and then an arrow pointing directly at the little snail. And I wanted to post that to Facebook because I thought that was so funny. And my husband said, no, you can't do that to him. Just no. So as far as posting pictures of breastfeeding, you know, I don't know. My husband seems to be more careful than I am.
Well, I mean, and again, we did talk a lot about that in a recent episode.
Right,
about posting about your kids. But I think this is more about you, right? It's that idea of... Again, that's why I said it's one step further. It's like, hey guys, not only was I exposing most of my boob in public to feed my child, since you weren't there, I wanted to make sure that you saw it too, or that you saw that I was doing that, right? Because it's not so much about the exposure. I mean, I know that a big part of it is like I did it in public, and there's no shame to it. Look, and I did it, you can too, kind of thing. And I mean, different people have different reasons. I mean, there's a lot of that on my Facebook wall for some reason.
Well, something else that's really fascinating, and again, I never noticed it before, but I've noticed it now, are nursing rooms. So for example, at the airport, I saw a mother's only nursing room. And at the place where I'm currently doing my internship, I stumbled across one as well. And what I've noticed, and again, my sample size is only two, so it might not be this way everywhere. What I've noticed is that they are kept under lock and key, and you have to go find somebody to let you in. It's not like a bathroom where you can just walk in and use it. And to me, that struck me as so odd.
Well, it depends on the place, right? Because there are bigger offices where people, again, it depends. There might be a specific, like maybe you get your own key. Or something like that. But it is, it's not out of the ordinary.
But like an airport?
No. I meant, I'm thinking like work locations, like at the office and things like that.
But I just think it's so bizarre that there's some kind of mystical thing around the idea that it's okay to pee in a place where the doors are open and the rooms are side by side and there's no guard, there's no door. Like sometimes there's not even doors on bathrooms. You just have the stall door. But when it comes to breastfeeding, it's like Fort Knox, and that I, as a mother, have to go find somebody to let me into this place. And so again, I think that comes back to the idea of the vulnerable, and we have to protect them, and you know, people, you know, men might come in and look at you while you're breastfeeding. It's just so, it feels so bizarre and something that should have happened 100 years ago. It doesn't seem to fit with my idea of what the world is actually like right now. So it's a very interesting juxtaposition. And then the icing on the cake is that if you choose not to breastfeed, or rather you pump, so either one, you're using formula, or two, you pump, which is an awesome technology, by the way, you pump and then you bottle feed, and you do that in public, you get lots of death stares from, or judgy stares from other people. Again, a lot of this is for me is anecdotal, and I'm still learning about it, and so I would love to hear from our fan base again about their experiences. But the friend that I'm staying with as I'm doing my internship, again, she just had her baby and she breastfeeds in public. She usually breastfeeds, but one time she brought her bottle and she definitely felt like she was being judged. And I know from my personal experience, when I was talking with my midwife, she asked if I was planning to breast or bottle feed. And I said, well, probably breastfeed, but I also understand if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I'm not like, it's breast or death or anything. And she's like, oh, well, you really shouldn't use formula. That's just wrong. Wow. So there's a lot of really strong feelings about...
On a scale of 1 to 10, how judgy did she say it?
Probably about an 8.
Ooh.
I felt very judged. I felt like I was a bad parent. Yes.
Ooh, okay.
It's a practice of them, so there's like five, so
gotcha.
I try to avoid her.
Okay.
But there definitely seems to be this breast is best mentality, and there are benefits to breast milk versus formula and vice versa. But it's like, okay, so you're kind of doomed if you do and doomed if you don't. If you bottle feed, you do get judged. You do have the experience of being judged by others, whether it's your doctor or just some random person in the mall. If you breastfeed, it's almost like you're shamed into doing it in secret. So it's kind of like, what is going on? What are we actually angry with? Technologies that have enabled women to leave the home have typically been really strongly resisted by those in power, aka men.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, again, we did go on a tangent on breastfeeding, right? So for everybody who's still here, we're talking about screen time and the idea.
I thought you said everybody likes boobs. Like, we just did 10 minutes about boobs.
No, not really. Not really, Kelly.
I'm there's pretty other sure it's impossible ways, to breastfeed other about boobs.
There's other ways to talk about boobs, though. So we're specifically talking about screen time, not breastfeeding, but we did talk about breastfeeding. And again, that was the thing that really got me thinking when I read that article, is the idea that a parent or a mother in particular who is using or allows a child to watch television, right, or now an exposure to any kind of screen is possibly – it falls under the category of not breastfeeding, of you're maybe a bad mother because you're not doing the alternative, which is apparently mothering. Like, you're not mothering if you are allowing your child to watch television. And again, this idea that there's this maybe this history behind it, or that this connotation, that whole argument about screen time being bad is tied to just mothers not mothering.
Yeah, deep societal beliefs about what is a good mother and what is not a good mother.
Yeah.
And all the weight that carries. And I'm sure, Josue, in your psych training, you came across, you know, old school Freudian-esque ideas that they used to think schizophrenia was caused by quote-unquote cold mothers, that a lot of different mental illnesses were a result of a mother who was not attentive and caring enough. And I think you kind of see that transform and morph into more technological waves of saying that a mom is not doing a good enough job. But I think any mom out there, and I'm sure dads as well, I don't mean to exclude dads, but or men, because men can be feminists just as much. You just can't breastfeed, although some men can, which is pretty cool. But the idea that there is this, that a mother is someone who is perfect and on this pedestal and is a paragon and must be protected and kept secret and kept safe and is, you know, should be on her own tiny little island, I think is something that we've carried forward. And that's where you see the clash with technology happening, because technology is enabling women to, and parents in general, again, but mostly women, to get outside of their author island, pretty much. That they're able to go out into the world as mothers, even as new mothers, and interact with society in a way that they've never been able to before.
So let's dissect this a little, right? Because there's, I believe that in this argument and any argument like it that is supposedly, you know, showing any kind of technology as having some sort of negative consequences, it assumes that the alternative to using that technology is very positive. And so again, the idea that, so if a mother is not mothering, that is bad. But the truth is that if the mother was present, or if the child wasn't watching television, there could be so many other things that are happening, right? There isn't only like perfection and then screen time. There's all of these other things. And
right, there's shades of gray.
Yeah. And sure, a mom may be, this may allow a mother to, a woman to have a job, but it could also allow them to relax for a little while. It could also allow them to, you know, like you're not even assuming, you're not taking into consideration a parent that has multiple children. Right. And maybe she's breastfeeding the other one, you know, while this is happening. Like the fact that it's just bad all around and doesn't have any positive, you know, even like not even considering a positive effect, just the alternative, nobody thinks about what could possibly be happening under the other end. And it could be like the alternative could be worse. Like you're assuming that this mother is a good person, or you're assuming that whatever the kid would be doing other than watching television would be positive. And that's really not the case. That's not necessarily true. And even just the idea that a mother has to mother all the time is impossible, because anybody who wants to make that argument, if you ask them, if they come up with the argument like, well, I wasn't raised that way, or I didn't raise my kids that way. Well, what the hell were your kids doing when they weren't watching TV? They were out playing, doing who knows what, you know? Maybe. What were you doing? You know, were you always doing good things? Were those things more positive? Right? That's not true. It's such a lopsided argument, and it's so stupid. Like, it really makes me mad, just the idea that screen time is bad. And in that specific Slate article, there were quotes from the AAC, the Academy of something in pediatrics. I forgot the name specifically, that they – what they're saying is, like the whole idea that they're updating their—they're not standard. Oh, they're suggestions.
Their guidelines.
Yeah, yeah. Their guidelines
for screen time.
Yeah, to be, you know, no more than 2 hours for children above 2 years old. But there is this, like, they are so anti screen time that it's absurd, right? They're not anti bad things happening to your kids or your kids being exposed to bad things. They're just against the screen. And they argue that part of that screen time should be educational. And what the hell does educational mean? You know, like if they're learning something, they can be learning about anything. I mean, it's a lot of just really, really stupid stuff. And it ties this idea. Again, I know you want to go specifically, or we're talking specifically about the anti-feminism angle to it. And it's like, it's so nuanced. Like, there's so much there.
Yeah. And what, specifically about screen time, the idea that you might give your kid a 20-minute Bubble Guppies episode so that you can relax is an idea that seems to be, to some people, abhorrent. That the idea that you would do something so that you could take care of yourself is really prevalent in parenting in general. And I'll even broaden it to that, to parenting. And it strikes me as really odd, because in psychology, we're taught that your self-care is incredibly important. So whether you're doing your dissertation or you're studying or you're being a clinician and a practitioner or even outside of that, taking care of yourself is really, really important. And that doesn't stop when you have a kid, and it shouldn't stop, but I get the feeling, and again, this is totally my own anecdotal experience from either talking with my doctors or some friends who don't particularly have kids, that your life does stop. And you are now the servant of this child, and that you are no longer a person. And I've even felt that in pregnancy, when people come up and the first thing they say is, oh, you know, is it a boy or a girl, or when's it due? Sometimes I feel like I, as a human being, am not even acknowledged. I am just the carrier of this parasite.
You're a walking belly.
Yeah, I am this thing that is not Kelly anymore. I am just the host. And so the fact that I already feel that, and I don't even have the kid yet, it does bother me a little bit that somehow we think that there's this right or this wrong way. I mean, there is a wrong way. Like, don't abuse your kids. Don't neglect your kids. Don't starve your kids. You know, there are some definitely wrong things to do. But, you know, in psychology, we call it the good enough mother. Like, you're going... Every parent messes their kid up. You're going to do it. It's going to happen. Nobody's perfect. But you just got to be good enough. And I wish that was an attitude that more people embraced. And I wish I could even say that it was just people who didn't have kids, because they don't understand. But anybody who's been on the mommy forums, not the one your friend invited me to, by the way, but some mommy forums, you know, people can just be vicious to one another when it comes to kids and child rearing, and everybody has their own ideas. And again, just like the topic of breastfeeding, where you're kind of screwed if you do, screwed if you don't, that applies to screen time. That if you talk about letting your kids, you know, see a screen and play time, you know, play a video game or use a tablet, you definitely can often get judgy eyes. And, but if you don't, I know we went out with one of my friends, they've got a 3-year-old, and she'll play on the phone. And if she didn't have that, she'd probably be screaming her head off. And yes, you can make judgments or evaluations about the parents if you want to, but I mean, to me, at the end of the day, it works. And it's not detrimental to her. It's not like that's what she's doing 24/7. It's again, this idea of moderation and doing what you need to do so that you as a parent can be a human being as well, and finding that balance.
Wait a minute, Kelly, but I thought that screens rot your brain.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. I don't believe that one, but I've heard that one too.
Doesn't it make a baby's brain just mush if they're little and they're just staring at a screen all the time?
Well, I'm not a neuropsychologist or a pediatrician, but as far as I know, none of the children around me or any research that has done on children has resulted in mushy brains. So or brains mushier than usual.
Right. So like part of I think that the reasons why the judginess towards mothers in particular, but parents in general, comes from like these scary stories about, you know, what is actually happening there. And, you know, people want to argue that something like that, like, oh, I remember when I was a kid, it was like, oh, you're going to go blind if you're staring at that screen all the time. Ha, joke's yep, on you, because nobody stares at a screen all day now and everybody's blind. Yep. You know, you know, it's going to make them stupider. They're not learning. We could go all the way to, you know, aggression and violence. Like, there's all these different reasons that people want to use to fight against screen time. And there was, I found a quote from an AAC, the Pediatrics Association spokesperson.
American Association of Child.
No, it's Pediatrics.
Pediatrics.
Oh, AAC. Oh, no, child something. Man, what did I write?
You said AACA.
I did say AAC. I know.
Confused.
Thanks for trying to spell that out for me, though.
I'm trying. I'm helping.
Yeah, I think I just misspelled that. But it was a spokesperson from the Pediatrics Association, and it said, common sense tells me that if a child's laying on his or her bed and texting friends instead of getting together and saying, hey, what's up, that's where there's a problem. That there's a problem there. Right. So it goes, there's this social component to it too, right? So that not only are there all these possible effects, you're essentially raising, by putting them in front of a TV screen, you're raising someone who is going to have, who's not going to be very social. Someone who is going to be, you know, at the extreme, like a pariah in society, you know, or they're going to contribute nothing, or they're going to contribute negatively. And so, you know, part of the judgment that's going on there is like so future focused, you know, like, guess what? You just messed up that kid forever. And it's comments like that that are super frustrating because, again, they also have these stats on like, oh, well, students or children spend an average of 7 hours a day with some sort of multi entertainment media, right? Which usually comes from a screen, right? Like, they're not listening to podcasts or music. So they're probably looking at something. So, like, what is it the entertainment part that's a problem? Because, so what if they're just spending 7 hours playing? Like, it's not educational play. Like, is that still a problem? Is there not a problem? Where do people draw the line?
I don't know. I mean, I think it varies by every person. And I know from my experience as a soon-to-be parent that everybody has their own thing that they swear by. Swaddles are great. Swaddles suck. Formula is great. Formula sucks. You know, this, you know, the TXY model swing is the best. no, the XYZ model swing it. Like, everybody has their own opinions, and it's absolutely pointless to try and take anybody else's opinions into account. But there was a really great quote in this this Mother's piece, or this Mother's Day's piece, that I think really drives home kind of what we're talking about, with this kind of maternal guilt or maternal shame that would come from, say, using screens to do anything. So the woman exposes herself to the charge that she is a poor mother who places her needs and preferences or convenience over the baby's welfare. And in contrast, a quote-unquote good mother is deemed to be one who prioritizes her child's needs even more when this entails personal inconvenience and distress. So in this kind of quote captures the idea that we tend to view good mothers, quote-unquote good mothers, as those who, like, intentionally go out of their way to help their child, especially if it means personal inconvenience or distress to them, which to me is so just mind-blowing.
But and helpful in which way?
Like, the idea that you prioritize the child's needs, especially when this means your own inconvenience or distress.
That is
the hallmark of a good mother.
I know, but does that mean you're sitting with them, like, just staring at them or playing with them nonstop? Or does it mean, like, that goes beyond, like, nobody's arguing that you're putting them in front of the TV and during that time you're refusing to feed them, clothe them, bathe them,
right,
change them. It's more like there's a quality of the time that you could spend with them is infinitely better than anything that they're getting from the television, and you're depriving them of that almost.
Well, this specific quote came from a conversation about formula feeding. So I think what this particular quote is referring to is the idea that formula feeding is more convenient, which it is. That somehow makes you a less good mother because you chose convenience over the inconvenience. Anything along the lines of making a mother's life easier. And I keep saying mother because a lot of, again, my experience is coming through breastfeeding, which, guys, you're awesome, but, you know, there's some things you just got to leave to the pros. And there was another article that was linked to in one of the ones that we've been talking about, which looked at the adoption of washing machines in American versus Canadian households, which, again, is something that I never in a million years would have thought of. But it's quoted as saying, investment in labor-saving equipment for the farm took priority because men made these decisions on their own. And so what she's talking about is if you needed to buy a new piece of farm equipment or, say, a washing machine, the farm equipment always took priority. They didn't get a say in the purchases that happened in their lives. And I think you see that throughout history. You know, things that make domestic life easier, I'll just put it that way, things that make domestic life easier are much slower to be adopted than, say, things that made industry easier or business transactions or manual labor in the fields and traditionally masculine roles easier.
But that whole thing about the farming equipment, and I know it's hard for me to stick with just on the idea that, you know, there's obviously like a gender disparity going on here, because there's the child involved, right? Regardless, and as much as I want to focus on the mother, like there's still this idea that the kid is, again, like the idea that so we're not talking about being a bad father, we're talking about being a bad mother. But there's just all of these assumptions about – so you're saying the farm equipment makes the life easier for the man, and so the parallel there is, well, TV supposedly makes the life easier for the woman. It really makes it easier for both today, but over time, right, it could be viewed that way. But, I mean, I'm gonna throw in there that it arguably – makes the life better for the kid,
right? Well, who cares about that most way?
Right, because like so just the assumption that spending time with mom is going to be better 100% of the in 100% of the scenarios is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. I'll argue with anybody about this back and forth because we'll constantly gain points. The TV and whatever is on it can very well be more positively stimulating and educational than your parents, especially if they're exhausted, right, and just super tired, or if they don't want to do it at that time, or even if they do. Again, like, so we're talking about, you mentioned the diaper thing. Like, the diaper thing is so funny because we've talked about diapers that have sensors that are performing urinalysis, right? Yep. And then you have people who are using cloth diapers, and at every step of the way, there's arguments for and against each and every one of those things, from like how potentially unsanitary, cloth diapers are, and then you could argue like how much water you're wasting versus, you know, the effect on the environment from the trash or the disposable. Like, you can argue whatever you want at any of those levels, and then you can always flip that on what effect that has on the kid or what it means about you as a parent. Because if you're against what that thing is, it means something about you. But I believe that there is, you know, with the intention that the parent is doing this, that intention matters. And the intention may be, again, I need a break. And that is going to benefit the entire family. Right? Like, the science on screen time itself is not conclusive, but the effect of stress on the family, people being overworked, how that leads to stress and depression, and the effect that has on the entire family long term, there's tons of science around that.
Yeah, you just read my mind. I was about to say, the amount of research on the effect that depressed or anxious mothers have either preterm, so pregnant women who experience depression or anxiety, and then postterm mothers who have delivered, who experience, you know, either postpartum depression, anxiety related within the first year of life or so with their child, is immense. And it is very clear, as ambiguous and unclear as screen time literature is, that kind of research on the mental health of the mother is painfully clear. So, I mean, for a personal example, I was watching my nephew. He was about 2.5. He would not stop crying and yelling, and I was losing my mind. I felt like I was about to snap. I picked him up, I put him in his playpen, and I went to the bathroom, just so I could go to the bathroom. I had no intention of leaving in the playpen. This is my nephew, I wanted to take care of him. By the time I came back, he was asleep. I didn't know it was his nap time. I had no idea. So here I am trying to manage this kid who really just needs to sleep. And I told my mom about that, and she's like, no, that's perfect. Sometimes you just need to put them down and walk away. They might yell or cry or scream, but sometimes you need to take a couple seconds because you're only human. And I was like, wow.
And not everybody has that insight, right? And not everybody is doing it thinking like, well, you know, if I take a break, you know, and they're watching something on TV, this could potentially, you know, really help us all out in the future. Like, mm-hmm. you know, how many people are really thinking that? It's true. But there's also other things. I mean, you know, the idea that if they're watching if they're watching Sesame Street on TV versus watching it being filmed live, it's way better for them if it's live than if they're watching it on a screen is not true. They'd be getting the same thing out of it. And you could potentially want your kid. I mean, so your kids are, as much as their brain is capable at this point, they are exercising memory skills. They are, they're learning new words, new vocabulary. They're possibly critical thinking, depending on the programming. There's all of these actions that they're doing that they may not get from, you know, from playing with two or three action figures, you know, and we're part of this discussion has a lot to do with income levels, right? And mm-hmm. and what is available for them. Like, maybe your kid, I don't want you to watch TV for whatever, like, some people don't even know why people say don't do it, right? And again, we're assuming that a big part of it may be like anti-feminism, you know, anti-woman, anti-mother sentiments. And so your mom is like, you know, go outside and there's nothing, you know, like you're being recruited to gangs, you're being exposed to violence, you're being excused. Or on the other hand, right, maybe there's just like nothing. Maybe you're just like, is it worse for you to just sit around and do absolutely nothing?
My backyard was full of scorpions and tarantulas.
See, that's dangerous. That's dangerous, Kelly, right? That's not okay. right? And, right. you know, you could learn to wrangle them, or you could, you know. Or
I did. I caught a tarantula.
There you go. And you know, so again, the idea, maybe I want my kid to be sharper, you know, and ready for when they go to school versus be, I don't know, super creative. So and have, I don't know. Like, just watching TV doesn't mean that you're not using your imagination, but, you know, just to say, oh, no, I want them to be creative, so you sit them down with pieces of paper and
Bob
crayons
Ross.
Or something like that, right? No, like, but no, Bob Ross is on TV, remember? So no,
he's on Twitch.
He's on Twitch.
That's different.
So you know, there is an intentionality. There is a purpose for people doing this, and if you are judgy like Kelly's midwife, think about the reasons why people do this, right? And then I think also think about like the ideas of like where this came from. Like that's again the most fascinating part about where this
Absolutely.
Conversation started. But there's multiple layers. I think that part is important. But as the discussion happens, just technology itself, the even if we're just talking about research, the research does not support that it's the devil, that it's rotting your brain, that it's, you know, there's even things on the completely different spectrum. Like there's a science writer called Stephen Johnson who argues that there's something called the Flynn effect, which is that it's observable that over time the IQs of Americans have continued to grow at a very steady pace. And the science writer argues that the reason why that is in part to multimedia. Like our exposure to screens, in a way, like I'm paraphrasing him, but is like it's making everybody smarter, right? So you have that argument at the other extreme. And it's probably something in between. It's not definite. It's definitely not having horrible, horrible consequences, because if that were the case, things would be a lot worse than they are right now. And again, everybody is in front of a screen. So even just of a screen all the time. So just the idea of screen time being bad is weird. And why is it weird for a mother to use a screen or parents to use screens versus is it bad that your employer is making you sit in front of a screen? Is it bad that, you know, and what about screen time together, right? Like,
right.
We didn't even talk about that. I mean, is it bad if you're, what if you're pumping and feeding at the same time? Because you could do this, right? And watching TV with the kid. At the same time, like, what does that say about you?
Shame on you!
It really? Because you're like being proactive,
so.
And you're sharing, but because the screen is involved, shame on you. Possibly, I'm sure some people think that, but it's really complicated, and it's sad.
The last thing I wanted to touch on, and you already kind of alluded to it, was this idea of class. And if you think about the people who pushed for any kind of technological improvement in the industrial era and just kind of throughout time, they tend to be the people who don't have to use it. So for example, it's not the Rockefellers who were necessarily pushing for, you know, better working conditions for people in their factories, you know, and bring this back to kids, people who are well off and who can afford a nanny, who can afford to have somebody who spends all the time with their kids. Then yeah, that's a really great luxury that maybe your child doesn't have any screen time because they always have a playmate. They always have somebody that is engaging with them. And I don't know. There's probably no research on whether that's good or bad, but most people don't live in that world. Most people have to juggle, you know, a life and, you know, if they're lucky, a partner, maybe another child, a job and, you know, their own self-care. And I think that wealth has a lot to do with it as well. So it'd be very interesting to do a survey of what people think about screen time based and like parse it by socioeconomic status. I think that'd be a fascinating study.
Yeah, because so what if you can afford a nanny and then your nanny is doing half of the, you know, quote,
yeah.
mothering? Is that what does that say about the screen time argument? Is that person still being judged as harshly because they're taking a step back? And is that true, right? Like, so in this example, we're replacing screen time with,
With a nanny.
With a nanny, right? But I wonder, you know, if people see it differently. Like, well, the nanny's not so bad, you know, because it's really the screen that's the problem.
Yeah.
And again, and like, I think it's such a nuanced conversation that I know it sounds like I'm going into, like I'm talking about two different things, but really the screen time component of it is kind of the point of, like, it's a very small piece of this conversation, because the technology part kind of it amplifies the horrible mothering, right? Because it's technology.
It's the modern version of the cold mother.
Yeah, but it's yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's the worst, right? But it's definitely the go-to now.
It's one of the boogeymen.
Hey, you got to shame mothers somehow. Let's talk about screens. We can't just talk about TVs, because now they got the little screens and they got their little devices, and you got to lump them all together. So we have, you know, plenty to shame them with. You can't narrow it down too much.
Well, speaking of shame, 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 Game of Thrones is on in like 5 minutes. So I think that's going to do it for us here at Psych Tech. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at PsychTechCast. You can also find us on PsychTechPodcast.com. We're on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, pretty much anywhere. Please take the time, subscribe, leave us a positive review. It really helps us in the rankings. And I just want to shout out that we had more people listen in last week than we have ever before. So thank you to everybody who's helped make PsychTech even more of a success as we go forward. So I hope everybody enjoyed this version of parenting, aka Kelly rants about parenting issues before she even is has one on the outside. And thank you, Josue. There are not very, very many men I know who I could have this conversation with. So thank you so much for being you.
And I do want to apologize for all the breastfeeding talk, for everybody that's offended by breastfeeding out there. You know, because apparently there's a lot of you.
It happens.
Yeah.
You might have been breastfed yourself.
Boobs.
Boobs. That's going to be the name of this episode, is just boobs.
Yeah, boobs and screen time. Sounds good to me.